Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to start reading at verse number 14 of 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you so much tonight for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you so much for loving us, caring for us. Thank you for sending your Son to die upon the cross for our sin, Lord, that we might have eternal life. And tonight, once again, this preacher needs your help. He needs your power, needs your wisdom. And I ask you, Lord, to help us tonight, to open our hearts to truths that will be a help to our life. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You may be seated. In verse number 14, he talks about the natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, he says. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We find that the natural man, what he does is he uses human reasonings before he decides how that he might ought to obey the Word of God, or if he even does obey the Word of God. The natural man thinks humanly. The spiritual man accepts the Word of God as it is, obeys it, even if he does not understand all there is to it, but he obeys it and later on finds and understands why God wanted it that way. That's what the spiritual man does. Tonight I'm going to do something, you know, being the last Wednesday, I said to the Lord, I said, how can I just help the people? And there was one of our people, our young men went out Sunday morning and said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, sometime I want to sit down with you and see what that 5-year plan you had on getting out of debt. I would like to know about that. And the Lord pricked my heart after that and said, that's what I want you to teach them. So tonight what I'm going to do is I'm going to deal with some things in finances. The reason I started with this scripture is because if you want your finances to be what God wants them to be, you're going to have to be willing to accept the principles from the Word of God for them to be that. And you say, Brother Ross, is this an important subject? Yes, it's an important subject. We have people today, young couples today, sometimes even older couples today, they're absolutely just being taken away because of the finance situation. And they owe people, and they don't know what to do a lot of times. They don't understand what to do, and they're caught up. Yes, probably they got themselves in the problem themselves, but they're there, and they don't know exactly what to do about it. I can tell you something from a testimony. You can get out of debt, but it takes obeying some principles from God's Word. It takes being willing to do that, to sacrifice. One of the great things today I say to you is you cannot hardly find people who today want to sacrifice. They want it all, and yet they want things to be okay. Now, I don't know whether that's in the way you operate or not, but there's a lot of people who operate that way, and it won't be that way. Sacrifice is necessary, and if you'll listen to this preacher, I'm going to give you some experience tonight. Been around for quite a few years, been around the block a few times, and I've been where, if you're in debt heavy, I've been where you are. And we go back to a time when God showed us that we needed to get out of debt and get our debt straight and get our spending straight. And we did that. It took us 5 years. It may take you less than that. It may take you more than that, depending on what your financial condition is. But what I want to do tonight is, if you will listen, I believe the Lord can help you through what's going to be said tonight. If you will listen. Okay? Because finances are very important. You see, if you want to be a spiritual man, take the word of God, apply it, do what God says, and even if you don't understand it all, you will later on. Don't be the natural man that just wants to look at things from the natural reasoning. Okay? Let me say also to you, in a husband and wife situation, it takes both of you to get on the vehicle. It takes both of you working together, not against each other. Okay? And I think tonight we can, like I say, help you if you'll listen. If you'll listen and be willing to accept some principles that I'm going to teach tonight, and you can get out of debt. You can better your financial situation. Okay? You can do that. You see, money, God's purpose in money basically is to provide for our basic needs. He uses that to provide for our basic needs. He wants us to learn to depend on Him. You see, what we do is we try to be independent of God. We try to be self-sufficient. And we want to be able to say, you know, I can do this and I can do that, and I've got this put up or I've got that put up. And we're self-sufficient, independent of God. God never intended for us to be independent of Him. See, He taught us to give us this day our daily bread. He wants us to daily depend on Him. I don't care what you've got in your freezer or what you've got in your closet or what you've got anywhere else. You and I need to realize every day of our life we are dependent upon God. And that's what He wants. He wants that dependence. Now, you've got to work at that. You've got to work at being dependent upon God, because too easily we become independent of God. We've got all of these things. We don't give it a thought to say, thank you, Father. We might say, thank you for the food, our daily food, and that's good to do that. We may do that. But look at all of the other things around us that we have that we ought to be looking to God and saying, Father, thank you today for that which you have given us. You are providing it today. Not only that, when you do that, it deepens your love for the Lord. You see, someone you're dependent on, you fall in love with, you care about. When you become independent of God, you no longer are as much in love with Him because you don't need Him. Did you know that's true in a husband and wife relationship? Husband and wives need to realize they need each other. And the moment that they don't think they need each other, there's not the love there that should be there. So you and I need to realize we need God every day, and it'll draw you to Him. It'll cause you to love Him more. Not only that, through that process, gratefulness is developed. We become very thankful for just the basics of life. The greatest thing you can do is be thankful for the very basics of life, food and raiment, the very simple things of life. Because when you begin to expect more, you become less grateful. Do you know why a bird sings? He has his basic needs met. He's happy. He doesn't need a new birdhouse. He's got wings and doesn't need a chariot. He's happy. Why is he happy? He has his basic needs met. And he sings. What God wants us to do is to be very grateful and thankful for the very basic needs of life. Amen? God uses the basic needs. God uses money to teach us to live within our means. He wants you and I to live within that which He has provided for us, not above it. Okay? You see, we are told continually that we, if we don't get this new gadget, this new thing, we're just not going to be happy. We have to have this new little thing that just come onto the market. No, we don't. You see, we need to learn to be happy and content with the very basic things of life that God has provided for us, you see. A contented person feels wealthy. You know why? Because he already has more than what he needs. There's not a person in here who cannot say, I only have my needs met. We all have more than what we basically need. And we ought to be very, very content with that. We ought to understand we're very wealthy because we have our needs met and many things even above our needs. And of course, God wants us to enjoy our possessions. God wants us to enjoy those things that he has given to us. And you can't do that in a state of discontent. You've got to learn to be content with what God has given us. Amen? So anyway, I started off with that, and what I want to do is, because I do believe you may not be in this situation, you may not be in debt up over your head, or you may not be in debt, period, but I want to help you to get out of debt so you can be content. Multitudes of work that God has for us to do through the churches, through the work of God, is not being done today because people are also encumbered down with debt. So when someone comes along and says, let's build a new building, let's do this, let's do that, everybody goes, I can't do it. Well, why can't we? Where is our money tied up at? Why are we so much in debt? Now, this is not condemnation to you. I want you to listen to me. It's not condemning you. It's saying, you know what? There's a better way. There's a better way. And first of all, I simply want to share with you some scripture over in Matthew. Matthew, the 6th chapter. I'm not going to read a lot of this because it's very, very familiar scripture. But the first thing, here's number one. First thing that we must do is we must seek the Lord and desire to be like Jesus. We must be willing for him to control our life, and that includes our finances. We must be willing. Listen to me. Do you have a spirit that says, Father, you can have all of me and you can have my finances? I do want to do what you want me to do. I do want to follow the principles of the Word of God. Can you, in sitting there tonight, say that and mean it in your heart? Well, you're going to have to come to that place if you want changes in your life, because he's the one that knows what to do with yours and my finances. Look at Matthew. Look what he says. Very simple statement. We'll read verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? He's simply telling us, and then he goes into quite a talking about the fowls of the air and things like that. Look up at verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He says you don't need to think about those things, or to worry about those, or to fret about them. You say, Brother Ross, you mean they automatically just come to us? Yes, if. Now listen, he gives us a plan. Here's what he says. Look at verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. You've heard that verse of scripture, but have you ever dissected it? Have you ever thought about what it is saying? God says, if you Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's first. Then these things will be added unto you. He's given us a principle of life. He's saying, you know what? You don't have to worry about what you eat or what you put on or any of those things that you have need of. You don't have to worry about those. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's simple. Live for God. Seek his righteousness. I mean, are you understanding this? And God says these things will be added unto you. They come automatically with the program. You understand what I'm saying? You see, and what we do a lot of times, we want to leave that out. Father, you know I have need of these things. Where are they at? Why don't you give them to us? He says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And these things will be added unto you. Okay? Now you see, here's where we get in to the fact that we want the product, but not the recipe. We want God providing every little need of our life, but we don't want the recipe that will get that. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things will be added unto you. Do you understand? There's a recipe for it. Okay? Understand? Sure there is. Now, let's just go back quickly to the book of Psalms. The 37th Psalm. Listen to this wonderful portion of scripture in the 37th Psalm, verse number 1, I will begin to read. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Now listen to what he says. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. He's saying, what do you do? Well, you trust in the Lord and you do good. Are you hearing this? You do good. And then what happens? He said, well, you'll dwell in the land and thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. How many in here has not only had your needs met, but many times had the desire of your heart given to you? Sure you have. And God says, if you'll delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Recipe. Product. Okay? Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What do? We commit our way unto the Lord, we trust in him, and he said, I'll bring it to pass. There's the recipe. The product is given. If you'll understand something, if you'll understand this, folks, we've got to learn, we've got to mind the Lord and obey the Lord, for if we want the blessings of God. I'll deal with that in just a moment. First of all, here's what we're going to do. First of all, you seek the Lord. You want to be like him. You want to obey him. You learn that if these things are going to take place in your life, what are you going to have to do? Well, you're going to have to mind the recipe that God put down to get them. Okay? First of all, it's going to sound silly, but if you want to get out of debt, you got to work. Amen. Amen. I mean, that may sound silly, but listen, that's a very important point. You got to work. Some people will never get out of debt because they never want to work. They never will get out of debt. They'll be in debt for the rest of their life because they refuse to work. And here's what happens when you refuse to work. You cut off the supply line. The supply line has been cut when you refuse to work. So how can you get out of debt? It's impossibility because you're not working. You've cut off the supply line that God has designed to give to you and me so that we can do the things that we need to do, have food and raiment and all these things. You cut the supply line off. So first of all, you gotta work, okay? Simple. Secondly, you must tithe. Now listen, don't shut your ears to this because this is a very important point. If you do not tithe, you have now not only, you've not just cut the supply line off, you've cut the line of blessing. You see, if we will mind God, Malachi 3, you're familiar with it. I preach on it every other Sunday. That's what we preachers are always accused of doing, but we don't. I don't preach on it very seldom, but if you'll go to Malachi 3, you'll find out what God says about robbing God. When you rob God, you put a curse on your finances. And it cannot be done away with. You don't understand it. You say, well, I'm not going to tithe. Oh, it's okay. You know, it's up to you, but you just know something. You cut the line of blessing into your life. Listen to a very simple verse of scripture. Now listen to me. Don't turn me off. Okay? Listen to a very simple verse of scripture. Give and it shall be given unto you. It does not say, and it shall be given unto you. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. The give is first. It's a principle once again. You must follow that principle. What do? Well, you give. Then it's given unto you. You give, and it's given unto you. Now, are you listening to that? Don't throw that verse of scripture out. He says, give, and then it's given unto you. The giving is first. You say, well, I've been given a lot. Yes, and how are you doing? Has the devourer eat it? Read Malachi, the third chapter. You say, well, I make a lot of money. Well, how are you doing when you're not tithing and you're not giving? How are you doing? How's it going with you? Give, and then it's given unto you. A lot of people stay right here all the time. And they want it to be given unto them. Come on. Give it to me. But they never give. You can't win that. God won't let you win that. Now this is not condemnation. This is trying to help you. You work and then you tithe. And I'm not even getting in on the offering things. I'm just saying tithe. There's offerings too, but tithe. You cannot win this. You'll never catch up. It'll never work. God won't let it. Okay? So what do? Well, you work. First of all, you seek the Lord and be willing to follow His principles. That's what I said to you earlier. Now don't turn this preacher off. We got to tithing, and many people turn us off, and they say, you know, it's all... No. Tithing is part of the blessings that God wants to give you. When you tithe, the supply line of blessing can be turned our direction. And if not, they're cut off. Okay? Okay, next. Stop all credit buying. Now listen to this preacher. Stop buying on credit. In Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, says the borrower is servant to the lender. We become servants to those who lend to us. If you don't believe me, try not paying your house payment or your... car payment or something, and see how much of a servant you are to those who lend it to you. right? So now what do we do? Here's what I'm saying to you. Some of you are going to understand it. Some of you are not going to understand it. But do not borrow for depreciating items. Things that depreciate, don't borrow for those. You see, what do I do? I'll tell you in a few minutes. Okay? But don't borrow for depreciating items. Save up for those. Because the moment you borrow for depreciating item, I mean, I'm telling you right now, its worth goes right out the window. Okay? Food and clothing and appliances and TVs and stereos and remodeling of the home and vacations should never be borrowed for. Never. Now, I'm just telling you, you're going to sit out there and say, this guy's lost his mind. But I haven't. I'm telling you the truth. You should never borrow for those. They're depreciating items. And think about something. You're not only borrowing for them, you're paying interest on the money that you have borrowed. So you're paying a lot more for those items than you ever should pay for them, because you're paying interest on top of the price of the item. Real estate is a non-depreciating item. Real estate is something that holds its value. Now, I know you say it can go down. I know that. But real estate is a non-depreciating item. But what you ought to do is this. You never, ever ought to owe more on real estate than what that real estate is worth. You ought to make sure, and that's one of the things we did when we bought our place, we made sure we had enough down that if anything happened that we had to sell that place, we could easily sell it and pay it off immediately. Okay? Listen. Eliminate all debt. Just bear with me a few moments. Let me suggest what you do. I don't know what you owe. I have no idea. List them. Sit down and list the smallest amounts first. List every one of them. Everything. You think of everything. Doctor bills, everything you can imagine. List them what you owe. This is what I did. This worked. I've seen this in other, Larry Burkett has, I don't have his book, but he has some good books on finances. There's no doubt about it. He has good programs that will help people to get out of debt. I'm just trying to give you some basics. But here's what we did. We took the very smallest item that we owed, whatever that was. It's been too many years. I cannot remember. Whatever that was, I'm just going to use an illustration. Say you're paying $50 a month on a bill. You only owe five more payments. You owe $250. You only owe five more payments. Start paying $60 or $70. Whatever you can afford, instead of the 50, start paying 60. You then have that paid off in either 3 or 4 months. You say, oh boy, I've got 60 extra dollars. No, 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 no. No, you don't. You take that 60 that you have extra now, and you owe a bill of $100 for 12 months. You owe $1,200. Instead of paying $100 a month, you now are going to pay $160 a month. And instead of 12 months, you're going to pay it off in 7.5 months. Oh boy, I got an extra $160. No, no, no. You now have a bill of you owe $3,600, and you're paying $200 a month. Now you're going to pay $360 a month instead of the $200. And instead of 18 months to pay it off, you have it paid off in 10 months. And then you just keep going like that. And you start eliminating your debts. And you do it very quickly because you're adding this money over here. As soon as you pay one off, you add that to it. You start paying on the next one and you add that to it. You pay on the next one. You say, can that be done? We did it. I'm not telling you something that hasn't been done. We did it. And you'd be surprised at the speed that those things get paid off on if you just use some sense and sacrifice. See, that's what I told you earlier. You've got to be willing to sacrifice. You can't save that money, say, oh, well, I don't have now $160 a month, so I'm going to go buy me something else. You can't do that. You're going to be right back where you was. You can't do that. You've got to start getting things paid off systematically. Amen? Do not create new bills. You say, but I need. More than likely, you don't need. And I'm going to try to help you understand why you don't need it. Most of the things that are bought is not needs. Some are. There's certainly certain needs of life. When you go in through this process, you have to buy food. That's a necessity. You have to buy clothing. Are you listening?
Amen.
You see, and you say to me, Brother Ross, well, I can't. Yes, you can do it. It's you don't want to. You do not want to do without those little things. The non-essential things of life, you don't want to do without them. I'm just telling you, I'm not bragging on us. God took us to task. If you want to get this thing right, you're going to have to quit buying. And we quit buying. We got out of debt in 5 years. And you know why? Because we quit buying. You understand? It's the only way you're going to do it. I mean, I'm trying to help you. If you listen to me, I'm trying to help you. So you eliminate all debt. How long does it take? All depending on where you're at, what financial condition you're in. It could take a year, 2 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, whatever. But you got to have a plan. You got to decide you're going to do it, and you've got to stick with that plan. Now, next, you've got to cut expenses. You've got to cut expenses. You've got to quit buying luxuries and non-essentials. Do you hear me? You've got to quit buying them. Do you want out of debt? You've got to quit spending. You don't need those things. Okay? Track your spending. We did this. You're going to say, Brother Ross, you now have flipped. But you can do it. Listen to me. Keep a piece of paper, a pad of paper with you everywhere you go. Every dime you spend, write it down and what you spend it for. If you buy a Coke, I bought a Coke. 75 cents. At the end of a month, I mean everything. Don't cheat. Write everything down. Husband and wife. Everything. Write it down. Look at it at the end of the month, and I'll guarantee you it will absolutely, I don't know what word I want to use. I started to say surprise, but that's not a strong enough word. But it will surprise you, astound you, where that money is going. That could be put on debts. So you don't want me to have any fun. Not really. Not till you get out of debt. Then you can have some fun. But you don't need fun. You need to get out of debt. You understand this, preacher? So write it down. Okay? You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised if you would just watch what you spend. The snacks, the junk food, the candies, the pop, the frozen meals, the pizzas, cigarettes, and I figured out the other day for a man. He wanted to know how he could do this, and I said, I'll tell you up front how you can do it. You smoke a pack of cigarettes a day. $3 a pack. $90 a month. There's how you can do it. Quit smoking. $90 a month. That'll come close to putting a kid in school. And many people smoke more than one pack a day. What you have to do is you got to quit that stuff. You got to quit spending on that stuff. Amen? Did you know food prepared at home is way less expensive than eating out? Let me tell you exactly what happened this very week. I think the Lord allowed it. But last Sunday, my wife went to our freezer. Now, we raise some beef, we butcher, and it costs me to raise that. We do it because we like the meat. I like what we're getting. That's why we do it. She went out and got a nice roast. We don't have ours cut in large roast because it's just me and her. I realize some people's going to have higher expenses. She went out and got a roast, put it on while she was at church. It was cooking. She put potatoes in it, carrots in it, onions in it, came home and put a few broccoli and cauliflower things on and cooked those. We had a wonderful meal. Tuesday night, we ate that same thing as warm-ups. We again had a wonderful meal. It was good. Plus, one of those days, she brought us a roast beef sandwich to work here. We sat in my study there, enjoyed a roast beef sandwich with some chips she had brought with us and a bottle of water out of our little refrigerator. We got six meals out of that one meal, six meals. And we didn't pay probably over $4 or $5 for anything there. Now, you say, well, brother, what? Listen to me, folks. It costs terribly to eat out. It's expensive to eat out. Now, you say, Brother Ross, you don't ever want us to eat out? No, honestly, in getting out of debt once in a while, about once a month, Donna and I would say, you know what? We're going to blow it tonight. We did. We said, we're going to blow it. We went out and eat or done something just to kind of get a little relief from all the pressure. But that was very, very seldom. You got to quit spending. If you want out of debt, you got to quit spending. Some of you young people, I hope you're getting this, because you don't ever want to get in debt. You want to do it right. But if you're in debt, these are things you're going to have to cut expenses. And I'm saying to the men and women alike, you've got to be careful what you buy. My dad used to say this, and you've heard it. He said some women can throw more out in a teaspoon than a man could bring in with a scoop shovel. He used to say that. I've heard him say it many times. But the vice versa is also true. The men sometimes think, well, they can do this and that, and they can buy this and that. You've got to watch your spending too. You've got to cut the spending. Cut your expenses. Amen? You've got to work together on this. Buy smart. Always the cheapest product is not the best product. You buy smart. Sometimes it's better. We've had some can openers that I swear they didn't last 2 months. Donna bought us a real good one the other day, and that thing's been going for a long, long time now. I'm going to tell you, she paid a little extra for it, but it was a better buy. What I'm saying is you've got to buy smart. You sense when you purchase. Cut your expenses. You can even cut utility costs. When you walk out of a room, shut the light off. I'm serious. You can cut utility costs. And just using common sense. Car costs can be cut. Listen to it. I'm just going to use a figure. But a $15,000 new car does not do a any lesser job than a $30,000 new car. Now, I know most of you are not going to pay that kind of money for a car, but I'm saying to you, you BMW is not going to get you down the road any better. You may think you enjoy it better, but it isn't going to get you down where you want to go any better than this car over here, this old Chevy over here. You sense when you purchase. I say the same thing with a house. Why do you want a $200,000 house when a $60,000 or $70,000 home will do just as well? You're just going to live in it. Amen. Now, I'm using figures there that may not even be good figures. But I'm saying to you, don't be foolish in your spending. Amen. When you eliminate credit buying, you eliminate interest. Now, I know I'm going to take a moment to speak on it, but credit cards. I meet people all the time, and I know it's true. People who say to me, Brother Ross, I have a credit card. I never pay any interest on it, and I believe that. I believe they pay it off quickly. They do not pay interest on it. Some people who travel and do some things like that, I understand it's probably better for them. They use it wisely. But what does the common Joe need a credit card for? What do you need a credit card for? You are spending money that you do not have. You go into a store, and honestly, I've done this. I've looked in my billfold, and I said, I don't have money to buy that. So I put my billfold up, and I don't buy it. If you have a credit card, you just buy it anyway. It stops God from being able to stop you from having things that he doesn't want you to have. Now, I know there's people who use credit cards rightly. I understand that. They use them rightly, and sometimes you almost have to have one in some of these car rentals and some of these other places. If you don't have one, you can't get a car. I understand all those things. But the common Joe does not need a credit card. All you're doing is buying ahead of time. You're buying on something that you don't even have the money to pay for and hoping down the road you'll have the money to pay for it. If you don't have the money, pay as you go. Don't buy. Just don't buy. Take a pair of scissors or a shredder and get rid of those credit cards. Unless you absolutely know how to handle them. And use them wisely. Hang on to your seats. Let me say this. Most of the time, wives working is never the answer. Most of the time. Now, here's what happens. When you figure in the babysitting money, you figure in the extra clothes that you have because you are working, you figure in the car expense, another car, gasoline, expenses that you have on that car, upkeep on that car because you have to have a way to get to work. The wife has to have a way to get to work. Food expenses because the eating out absolutely does increase. As soon as a woman goes to work, the eating out increases. Why should she go to work and come home and slave? So we stop and we get food, bring it home, or go out and eat. Frozen meals are purchased. They're expensive. Pizzas are ordered in. And by the time you add all of that up, very, very seldom does the woman make anything. We, Pastor Jerry and I, had a school couple come into our school, want to put their children in the school. And I think they did, as I remember. Anyway, they was telling us about when she decided to go to work, and she figured out, and let me just give this, she figured out how much daycare was going to be. That's what she was paying daycare. She was paying more for daycare than we charge for school. We're given an education. She just to keep the kids. I mean, it was quite a bit more she was paying. So she figured that out, and she figured the expenses, the clothing, like I mentioned, and the eating out and all this. She said, the way I got it figured, I was working for $5 a week. She was not lying. So that's all I was working for. I was doing all of that running, doing all that, and I was making $5 a week. Folks, most of the time, women working is not the answer. You just figured up. No, I mean really figured up sometime what it cost you to work. And then see how much you're adding to the fund of the household. Okay? I'm just giving you some things you need to hear. Plus, you take that dear woman from the place God intended for her to be. Because God intended for her to be in the home raising the children and taking care of the household. You can't figure how much that costs. Cut expenses. Lastly, start a savings account. You have got to get some money set aside in a savings account to pay for things that you used to finance. Stove goes out. What are you going to do? Say, I got to have a stove. Well, if you have put some money in a savings account weekly, you've got some money there to go out and write a check for the stove. You don't owe anybody. You have the money there available. Refrigerator goes out. Car goes out. Washer goes out. And they do, don't they? Well, what should we do? We should systematically put money in a savings account and account for the fact that one of these days something's going to go out, and if I put some in every week into this account, I will have money there available when it does go out. You don't have to finance it. Doesn't cost you a dime interest. You've got to plan ahead. Some of you out there are making really good money right now, and you better be planning for the future. Instead of blowing it all, buying things you don't need, buying above where you are. You see, here's what happens. You put that money in a savings account, and something comes up that you think you would like to have, so you go to that savings account and you draw it out and you use it on something that was never intended to be used on. You've got to learn to leave it alone. Leave it alone. Until something does happen, and then you can say, okay, the washer just went out. Honey, let's go up and pick out a new washer. You take that money out of that account. You go and you buy it. You don't owe anybody. It's your washer. And you don't pay a dime of interest on it. Understand? Put up some money for your children's education. That is coming. Put up some money for it. Put some money in a savings account. It's not a matter of just putting a little bit of money in the savings, but put enough there to build some things that you'll have some money there. See, when you do that, you won't have to write letters begging for other people to pay. your college expenses for your child. It's amazing what you could do. You as a parent will do what you're supposed to do. Pay for your child's education. Isn't that amazing what God can do? Begging. Let me explain to you the way I do it. You may want to do it different. Here's the way I do it. I figure out all the expenses that's going to come in the year, not just monthly things. I don't figure the lights and them. I know all those, but here's the ones that really get you. The ones that really get you is those that come in and they're maybe the life insurance, the car insurance. It comes every 6 months or maybe every year. Property taxes. License plates. I figure all of that, what I need for the year, and I divide it by 52. I put that much money in a savings account, plus extra to go for other things, the breakdowns and all these other things. You'll have to figure out how much you want to put in. But I put that in every week. So when the property taxes came this year, we looked at them. I went to the bank, withdrew out of that account the amount my property taxes was. I sent them a check for both installments. I don't owe any property tax for the rest of the year. Why? Because we had put money in every single week to cover those. Now, you don't have to do it that way. I understand that, but it sure worked for us. You gotta look for these things that's going to come, because they're the ones that smack you right in the face. All at once, you're doing real well, and then all at once you say, oh no, I forgot about property taxes, or I forgot about my life insurance policy, or I forgot about the car insurance. Oh no, now what are we going to pay? Well, if you've already got the money in there, you just go take it out and pay it. See, it takes some planning. And what I'm saying to you, plan. Plan. And sacrifice. Understand? Sacrifice now so you can enjoy later. A lot of people look around at some of our older folk in this church, and they look and they say, man, they got it made. Let me tell you why they got it made. They sacrificed when they was young. That's exactly why. I can tell you right now, they sacrificed when they was young. See, now, yeah, they got it made. They're doing okay. Well, they ought to do okay. Because they sacrificed when they're young. They prepared for the future. They didn't get themselves so deep in debt they couldn't climb their way out. So if you want a better future, then you're going to have to take some of these principles and use them. Amen? Just trying to help. If you'll listen, it'll help you. If you'll apply it. If you apply it. Amen. If you don't apply it, it don't mean a thing. But that's what you have to do. You have to determine. You have to decide. You know what? I want out of debt. I don't want to live this way the rest of my life. I want out of debt, and it's worth the sacrifice. I'm going to quit the foolish spending, the foolish buying. I'm going to take that money that I've saved and not spending on something else, but I'm going to put it up, and we're going to pay off our debts, and we're going to get right here with the community, and we're going to do everything that's right, and we're going to be all right, and down the road, you'll be all right. And you'll be able to enjoy life a lot more when them little window bills stop coming to your household. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness, your grace, your kindness. Help us, Father, oh God, first of all, to want to be helped. And I ask you, Father, please, help us to apply the things that we need to apply to help us to get out of debt and stay out of debt. Help us to honor you with our giving. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.